and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today we're talking all about faith, religion, belief systems, and spirituality, with a particular focus on creating them in your fantasy stories. It's a topic I've wanted to cover for a while because it plays such a significant role in so many books and tales, but I've been keen to get someone who holds real wisdom about faith and spirituality. So when I crossed paths with today's guest, I was very excited to have him on. Mark Weissman is a Celtic Norse shaman. He was formerly a Christian pastor, and he has had a very interesting journey and has a very interesting relationship with faith and spirituality. And he really does give a great insight into what these things mean, both on a cultural level and on an individual level. And the idea is to give you some inspiration, some insights to help you when it comes to creating characters who are quite faith-driven, and also cultures and religions within your world that are all centered around faith and beliefs. Before we get into the meat of the sandwich, just a quick reminder that if you haven't already done so, to subscribe or follow the show. And the main reason is you won't miss any future episodes. And be sure to hit the little alert button on Spotify, so you get a little push notification when a new episode goes live. And that way, nothing will slip under the radar. If you enjoy listening to the show and want to get more involved, why not join our writing community? We congregate mostly on Discord nowadays. We still have a Facebook group, but Facebook's gone a bit weird, so we do focus more on Discord. You can join a critique group, which meets weekly, monthly, bi-weekly, whatever you like, and we match everyone up by genres. And if you want to just get some feedback on a short story or a chapter, then you can drop in and look for beta readers. And we also have lots of chit chat throughout the week, share lots of memes and all that kind of jazz. So if you want to join a community of writers, click the link in the description and you'll get an invite. If you'd like to support the show, the best thing that you can possibly do is to give us a quick share on social media or tell anybody who you think may be interested. We don't have any money for marketing, so the best way you could help us is by spreading the word. And lastly, if you'd like to learn more about writing fantasy beyond what you listen to us natter on about on this show, then check out our Patreon page. We've got lots of great writing guides, writing classes, books on fantasy writing, interviews, and much, much more. The links for everything I've just mentioned are all in the description. And now it's time to crack on with today's show. And I'm delighted to introduce Celtic and Norse shaman Mark Weissman. I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Mark Weissman, who is a modern-day Celtic and Norse shaman, a former pastor with the Christian Church as well, and has a very interesting life. And I'm delighted to be joined by you. Welcome, Mark. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It is an absolute honor to be here and to address your listeners. So I'm excited.
We chatted a bit before we started recording, and one of the main reasons why I was so keen to speak with someone like yourself is when we're writing fantasy stories, a lot of the time we're creating worlds from scratch, and faith and belief systems often, like in our world, the pillars of the sort of culture, aren't they? Like we were just talking about. And it can be quite tricky to create that, and to have someone who's got your insights and wisdom, it's going to be really, really interesting. So thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely right. And as we mentioned before the show, really embracing culture and heritage and a little bit of archaeology, right? You've got to have that historical perspective. A lot of times people write things and they're trying to write it with a 20th century mind to a 5th or 6th century person. And so got to understand, I think, the dynamics a little more.
Oh, most definitely. Before we dive into the sort of nitty gritty, can you tell us a bit about you and your relationship with faith?
I am, as I mentioned, I am a Celtic, or I should say, as you mentioned, I am a Celtic Norse shaman. My life was a disaster. until I was enlightened. I received my enlightenment in my backyard when Odin visited me. We spoke, and I claimed a birthright that I would later go back and find in history, in actual ancestral history, of that of the Ulfhethnar, which for those folks who don't know, the Ulfhethnars were very similar to the berserkers of the Norse. Ulfhethnars, however, represented the wolf in lieu of the bear for the berserkers. They were both used by many chieftains and kings to ultimately unify Norway. And as well, we have stories that go back even before the current era, where we have men with heads of dogs in Germania, which is modern day Germany, that were being used as a threat against another clan. That was actually written down. And so the history behind the Ulfhethnar is that they really started from the Celts of Iberia and ultimately kind of morphed as they moved into, certainly into Germany, and then morphed again as they moved further north into Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. And these men were, there was the whole law written, Icelandic law, that was written about them. So they were a real threat. They were considered the special forces of their day. But more importantly, they carried with them the magic of the era. So they were in constant contact with what they referred to as the Lenveti. These are the spirits of the land, Veti meaning spirits, land, Veti. And so these folks then were able to control. So instead of battling, if we arrived in a valley somewhere and there was three armies placed against 25 of us, literally they could call upon the Lenveti and the ground would rise up and swallow their enemies. Trees would fall over. Boulders would come cascading down the mountain and wipe out swaths of their armies. And so they referred to these, as I mentioned in, I want to say about 1100 AD, there actually was an Icelandic law which said if you were an Ulfhethnar or a berserker, you were to be put to death because of the church, right? Because of the ever-expanding church at the time. So yeah. You have a real threat, according to them, of civilization. So,
yeah.
So that's, in a nutshell, I guess, my story. I didn't know at all about the Ulfhethnar until many, historically later, after I had accepted the birthright from Odin.
Yeah. And I understand that you were at one time a pastor as well.
I was. In college, as you can tell, quite a while ago, I studied Old and New Testament. I would go on to become a pastor. I was really a chaplain. Did a lot of work with veterans. That's primarily been my mainstay for as long as I can remember. Even in the days when I was a chaplain, I just struggled with making a cultural connection.
Yeah.
Because really the church kind of pushes that away. It says, no, we can't have independence. We can't have these unique things. And so I always struggled with that until, again, I found my way. And since then, it's been, as I've helped people, we've kind of talked about one of the mainstays are guilt, shame based on sin. That was identified. And this ideology has traversed now two millennia. And it, believe it or not, even those of us who swear off religion and swear off all these things, yeah, we're still affected by sin, because most countries, the UK, the United States, many, many countries, laws are based around Christian beliefs.
Yeah.
And so when you break a law, you're in sin, and that kind of sets into your psychology of the mind. And so then we have to go through, as a spiritual counselor, I have to go through and kind of unspin that.
Yeah. I know a lot of my family are from Ireland, which is historically very, very Catholic, very, very conservatively Catholic. And only in the last few years has that shifted. In the past, people have had to fly to where I live in Liverpool, which is the closest city next to Ireland. So people would fly to Liverpool to get an abortion because it was illegal in Ireland, and things like that have completely shifted. And I think that the Christian, it can be quite restrictive, and it's very sort of guilt laden. It just always wants to make you feel like, when I was a Catholic, I was like an altar boy up until like the age of 16. So how did you find it when you sort of had that moment? Was it quite liberating?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Because all of a sudden, all of those rules that had bound me psychologically, and even to some point physically, no longer applied. There was no value in it. And so I didn't have to wallow in the guilt and the shame and all of those things for something I had never done.
Yeah.
And so I was able to walk free of that and just be me and understand that the things that happened in my life happen for a reason. It's not chance luck. It there's a purpose behind it. And those interactions that I have with others, that too has a purpose for them.
Yeah.
Otherwise they wouldn't have found me wherever I am. So everything had a purpose, and that really takes the onus off of us to behave within these certain parameters, and it allows us to accept the world for what it is, and that is the experiment of living, right? Of learning, of loving, of being, and those things which allows us to grow and become enlightened.
Definitely. And Norse and Celtic, that culture and that sort of belief in religion, it's very different to Christianity, isn't it? And can you tell us a bit about it, and like, what are the main sort of pillars of it?
Well, I think, you know, when we speak of Celtic and certainly the Norse of legend, you get away from seeing, oh, I pray to God for this thing to happen. No, I go do it.
Yeah.
And if it happens, if I'm able to succeed in it, the gods had favored me. If not, the gods didn't want that. So I was able in the beliefs to accept those things. Whereas today, just the other day, I was speaking with an individual, and he said, yes, every day I get up in the morning and I pray for $1 million. And so I asked him, I said, well, why do you want $1 million? He said, oh, I buy this and that and this other thing, and I just do all of this. And so we started talking about it, and he realized during our talk that he didn't technically want $1 million. What he wanted was the freedom to make choices that he didn't feel he had today. The same thing applies here, yeah, is when the unfortunate reality of monotheism as a whole is that it places all of the future momentum in this infinite being, in lieu of where culture says you are the vehicle, not some gods, not some fairies, not some angels, not nothing else. You are that vehicle. So if you want something done, get off the couch and go get it done.
That's a great attitude.
And so we find that, and to your point, though, is, and as we talked about before the show, really understanding, whereas in the world of religion, you have a box, And in that box is a sliver that's called the theology or the spirituality, the spiritual part of religion. The remainder part is what I call practice. And the practice is behavior modification. So I'm, for lack of a better way of putting it, I'm legislating morality. Whereas the Norse, we had 9 noble virtues that we saw in everything we did. It started with honor and truth and courage and down the line, self-reliance, industrialness, all of these things we placed value as an individual on. We didn't need our God to tell us, thou shalt be courageous or thou shalt be strong or whatever. We didn't need that. We knew that those values were necessary to be successful, to get done what needed to get done. It wasn't part of our religion. It wasn't part of the spiritual experience. What's part of the spiritual experience is accepting the world around us, understanding that we could learn an immense amount of knowledge from trees, from the grass, from the earth, from the winds. And when we step away from trying to drill it down into a particular name or label or whatever we want to call him, and we started accepting the world in a much grander scale, I think is where you move away from religion, theology, spirituality, and you come to just culturally living.
Yeah.
And that's what our ancestors did. And I, to your point, you were talking a little bit about Ireland and how it's shifting. And I was just meeting with a bunch of wonderful men and women who kind of look at spirituality across the globe. And we were kind of talking about what were some of the things that we were seeing happening. And so the two major threads that came out of that conversation was, one, that we saw a huge push for monotheism in the Far East. Okay, so they're really pushing to bring in Christianity. They've got a lot of conversion. Things are happening there. And then over in Europe, in your neck of the woods there, we see a push moving away from that.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing, you know, everybody says, oh, they're moving towards this paganistic thing, which, by the way, drives me crazy, but that's another topic. They're moving away from it. No, they're embracing their culture. And I see a huge rise, particularly in the Gaelic. Just that whole focus. And of course, when you get to the Gaelic, you know, in comes the Celt, because the Celts were a very strong part of the Gaelic.
Yeah.
And so you have people who are beginning to get more knowledge outside of what they've accepted before as being the truth. Now they're seeing a bigger picture. So I think that's more of your conversion. So as you talk about lightening the oppressive hand of monotheism, I think part of that is the cultural embrace that we're seeing, quite honestly, around the world.
Definitely. And it makes you ask the question, really, doesn't it? Like you presented, like, I know I was presented with one sort of belief system, but as you sort of, the world gets a small, it becomes a smaller place, and you see all these different things that you might align with better, like with your experience, it makes you ask this question, which is a bit of a philosophical one, but I thought it's no better person to ask is, what do you think faith is?
Faith, we have faith in a lot of different things, and faith is just the belief in a something. It does not have to be your faith is in your spirituality, in your spiritual growth, in God, in the deities, in anything. It's just faith is, and that's really where you see a lot of terms, and I mentioned one, but you see a lot of terms that was captured by this monotheistic practice and kind of hijacked to mean one thing when in fact it doesn't. The word I mentioned before was the word pagan, which drives me absolutely crazy when people refer to me as a pagan, because I'm not. I am not a pagan. I don't live in a village. I live in a city. pagan is the word for a villager. It has nothing to do with your spiritual beliefs. Yeah. It has nothing to do with your understanding. It doesn't even have anything to do with culture. It's just one of those terms that, ooh, that's kind of fancy. We'll use that. And so we refer to them. The other one is heathen, which heathen is a gardener. They take care of the heath,
yeah.
Right? So they have nothing to do with nothing. So, and faith, I think, is another one of those words, too, where we say, you know, I have faith that it's not going to rain today.
Yeah.
It's based in any scientific fact. Could I honestly say, I guess it's not going to rain today? Sure.
Yeah.
Do they have the same value? In my mind, they do. But you're not going to think so. If I say, you know, I guess it's not going to rain, versus if I said I have faith it won't rain.
Yeah.
One's going to make you reach for your raincoat and the other one's not.
Yeah.
So faith is just one of those words, I think, that got hijacked to mean something it doesn't.
Spirituality is a better word. I think it's like that sort of what you feel within rather than anything else. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with you more if I was sitting next to you. That's exactly right, in that when you talk about understanding the spiritual world or realm around us, and all that entails, as you begin to see into that realm, you're moving beyond a practice, beyond a theology. You're moving into this much larger picture called spirituality. So, yes, I agree with you 100%. Spirituality is what ultimately everything comes down to, because we're believing in spirits. We're addressing spirits. We're communicating with spirits. However you want to put that, it's spiritual.
And it's a very personal thing as well, isn't it?
When I first left the Christian church, I was attacked, quite honestly, verbally, quite frequently. My family was threatened. It was a big deal. And so I didn't say a whole lot. I was trying to be low key. I continued to do what I do as far as the counseling and helping individuals, but I was really low key. And then it just dawned on me, why? Why am I quiet? Why am I ashamed? No, I'm free. Yeah. I'm free, but I don't want to upset these other people. Well, that's not my problem.
Yeah.
My problem is me. I'm my own problem. They have their own issues with what I say and do. And they have to work through that, not me. And so it becomes, to your point, much more liberating in so many ways as you begin to open your eyes to a much larger spiritual experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. Like, I feel like I'm quite like a spiritual person. Like, I have my own beliefs, and I'm really interested in like Norse mythology, but I like to look at other. I don't really know, to be honest, and it's a difficult one, isn't it? Which sort of ties in quite nicely with a question I wanted to ask you from a writer's perspective, because when you're creating fantasy worlds and stories, a lot of writers like to include faith and belief systems and spirituality, and it's a very tricky thing to replicate. What advice would you have for anyone who's looking to create their own belief system in a world?
Firstly and foremost, you need to know that no belief system is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So wherever you are, whatever you believe, whatever you know, I always say there are two keys to your beliefs. The first key is that it makes sense in your mind. And the second one is it feels right in your heart. If you meet those two criteria, then nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Right. So whether it's, you know, whatever language, I think one of the strongest things I always, when people recommend books or they're talking about books and I hear about them and I say, I think about how those ancestors would have thought in those days. And if you start really putting that mentality into your mind as you're writing the story, you're going to find that they didn't have all the barriers and all the limitations and all the expectations that modern monotheism has, as an example. And as such, they were a little bit more really comfortable with just being themselves.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be the Sunday morning Christian, right? They didn't even have to get up on Sunday if they didn't want to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these types of things and this type of mentality allows you to kind of free up, I think, bring in more of that culture. Whenever you talk about belief systems, whenever you talk about understanding spirituality, the best way to do that is to connect ancestrally. Connect to what you feel culturally drawn to. In my case, I'm a third generation born here in the United States, from at least 18 generations born in Northern Denmark. And that's all the research I did, all I've had time to do. But when you talk about, okay, how did my ancestors there in Denmark, how did they deal with this? And how did they think about this long before technology came along, long before, heck, even anything mechanical came along? So how did they do this? And so start thinking of those, and then that's going to give you energy to break through, I think, to break through and understand how that spiritual beliefs they had were technically not spiritual beliefs, but part of their culture, just part of them. It was normal. Whereas many people will tell you that as monotheism was introduced there in the Middle East and it kind of spread around the world, there have been more excerpts than not where it was forced. It was conform or die.
Yeah.
And that was their tactic. Whereas with spirituality and some of these cultural beliefs, you have the ability to just say, okay, you believe what you believe, and if that works for you, good for you. If not, you know, hey, this is what I believe, and this is what has worked for me in the past. You're welcome to try it out.
Yeah.
Feels good. You're in the right place.
Yeah. I think you make a really good point there about like looking at the cultures and what is important and what matters to help shape what people believe in every day. I think the Romans, like, they had a very sort of pluralistic approach to religion, didn't they, before Christianity kicked in? And there'd be like little deities serve every aspect of life. Greeks the same.
Right. Well, and they also adopted everywhere they went. So everywhere they conquered, they just take their gods too. So ours weren't good enough for you. Here, use your own. And they would do that. And that really was the first time we saw a public spirituality. Because the Egyptians didn't put up with that. The Mayans certainly didn't put up with that. Mesopotamia, they didn't do that. So Romans were the first ones really who came out and said, you know, you don't like the gods that we have, use your own. And that's okay. Build the temple. Here's some rock. Go build some temple for him or her. And they were okay with that. And then along came monotheistic practices, and everything else was kind of quashed for conquering sake. I don't know.
Yeah. And when we sort of have stories that religion and spirituality play a significant role, we often see characters who believe, or sort of like monk figures, or sometimes they're portrayed as like witches, the sort of wise people at the edge of the woods kind of thing. But they're obviously oftentimes they're the most sort of spiritually significant people. It can be quite tricky getting into that mindset of someone who believes. So can you give us a bit of an insight into that?
Well, you know, in many cases, witches, particularly witches, were kind of twofold. They believed in the magic, and magic is real. They understood it. They recognized the universal magic that happens around us all the time. But just as importantly, many of them were old and wise. They had seen a lot. They'd done a lot. They'd been involved in a lot. So they had a lot of relational experiences that they could draw on that allowed them to kind of produce this image of knowledge and wisdom, maybe even beyond where they really were. I can tell you that, you know, with witchcraft comes in essentially two flavors mainly. And the first one was very popular, and they were called seers. And the seers were very popular in Norse stories and history. And seer magicians essentially cast out very much akin to what you call a prayer today. So they would say this magic phrase, whatever it was, and they would cast out their request into the universe, and the universe's energies would then come alongside their request with the Lenveti, and they would reallocate resources. Okay, so they weren't creating anything new. They were simply, you know, if somebody was asking for a horse, they would go over here and they would lead a horse away from the pack, and the horse would get lost and wandered onto their property, and poof, they get a horse. Okay, so that was the idea of seer magic. Is seer magic, you're casting out the energy, and you're counting on the energy of the universe and the Lenveti to then support your prayer request, your incanted spell, to fruition, whatever that meant. The second levels was the spacraft magicians. Spacraft was when you used intrinsic energies. So you cast the energy required from start to end, no one else needed to bring something to fruition. But again, you were limited in resource allocation, right? So they would simply, you know, I need a loaf of bread, and a loaf of bread would fall off a table in somewhere way far away and magically appear, and there it was. Resource allocations within the universe. Whenever we're talking about creating something from scratch, something brand new, I'm reminded of the movie Iron Man, one of those movies my children were watching just the other day, and the Iron Man fella is making a new element. And he puts this collider thing together, and lo and behold, poof, they make this new element, and he injects it into his little chest thing. When we're talking about something new that's never been in existence throughout the history of the universe, it requires a deity. This is where we're going to draw upon energies that are required, because now we're much like Tony Stark or Iron Man there in the movie. We need an abundant amount of power to make that happen, to bring that to fruition. And so that's where you draw in your deities. So as far as beliefs go, there are just so many levels. And the good news is, because the spiritual realm is so big and so old, that you really can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Really. You know, you could say, you know, and so ultimately you're boiling it down to putting human labels on things. So we call this a ghost, and we call that a ghoul, or we call that a something else. And so you're essentially putting labels on them. And one of the things, whenever you talk about creating a belief system, what has to happen to create a belief system? It has to work once. It only has to work once. Now, if it works a second time, it becomes a part of you. It actually ingrains, and this goes for everything. This goes for you. You know, if you want to find your favorite gas station, and your evaluation of your favorite gas station means they've got soda pop and cheap gas, and I can get in and out really fast, and you go to a particular gas station and all three of those criteria are met, there's your favorite gas station. It's in your mind. What happens the next time you visit another gas station? You're actually comparing now that gas station to your favorite, and you begin to build that matrix, if you will, of, well, my gas station, my favorite gas station was kind of good getting gas, but it had the soda and it had, you know, the in and out fast. This other place, I don't know that it stopped the car. I was out so fast, but it didn't have soda and gas was a little bit more expensive. And so you begin this comparison process of building your belief systems and what you believe. Now, is your favorite gas station my favorite gas station? No. You're in the UK. I'm in the United States. Right there is a differentiating, right? So we begin to say, well, my favorite's right. Well, my favorite, your favorite doesn't meet my criteria. A, I have to be able to drive there. Yeah. That's my first criteria. And B, you know, and then we start working down to the matrix. But again, it's very similar when you're talking about your spiritual belief system in that you find something and you say, oh, you know, I'm really intrigued in and I'm going to just say, say Norse. I want to be a Norse. And so I read about its culture. I engage myself in their heritage and their ancestry and their history, and I figure everything out, and then I listen. I stop and I listen, and I say, how does my heart feel about that? You know, a lot of us will say, oh yeah, Vikings, woo, yeah, oh yeah, they're great. But those people, in my eyes, came later, and those people were, many of them were forced to do that by desperation to support their own farms.
Yeah.
So very different picture. When you talk about belief systems, that's what you're doing, is you're building this belief system based on what's worked. So when you talk about why would one of your characters believe something, he would believe it, he or she would believe it because at one point it worked. Or my mother slash father slash grandfather slash pick a relative,
yeah,
told me that it worked for them and they actually experienced it hands on. And so it worked. And that's why they believed it and they passed it on to us. And then, you know, I tried it once and it there was some moderate success. So, okay, I'm willing to run with it. And then you're listening with your heart and you say, does this feel comfortable? Does this feel right? Does it make sense in my mind? How can I connect me to that? You know, in my case, it was fairly easy as I spoke about the Norse, because I said, oh, let's go back to my ancestry. And three generations ago, my great-grandmother moved to the United States from where? Oh, Denmark. Where's her dad from? Denmark. And so on and so forth, back 18 generations. And so I went, oh, yep, I'm Norse. Okay, that's why that feels right and makes sense. That's my connection to that belief system, and that's why it works for me. That's why it's comfortable with me. And then in my case, because I was a theology scholar, I began to very much investigate the Norse mythology. And the Norse mythology, if you follow it back even further beyond, well beyond the Vikings, you'll find where the Germanic people, so Odin as an example, Odin in Germania was Woden, which by the way is why we got the name Wednesday, Woden's Day.
Yeah.
Woden came from the Celts, Dagba. No, Dagba, if you've studied Celtic beliefs, Dagba was, he was the major deity figure with the Celts. So you can tie all of these things, you know, and that's where I think so many people are so interested in finding all the differences and the separations and the you know, the divisions amongst us. They forgot how to find the commonality,
yeah,
and how things trace back. You know, my very good friend is Indigenous American, and he believes in the creator. And we're always joking. And I say, well, yeah, Odin's the creator. And he says, no, his name, he's just the creator. And I'm like, no, my friend, that's how you see him.
Yeah.
I see him. I see the same figure you do. I call him Odin. And so we we're at a point now in our relationship, we tease each other all the time. But the key is understanding beliefs is a matter of someone, before you get to monotheism, a belief is when you have success after an attempt. So I believe I can ride a bicycle. I ride the bicycle, even if it's only 3 feet. I rode a bicycle. It's rideable.
Yeah.
I believe. And now it's part of my belief. So that's, and that also goes to your question about faith, right? Is I have faith I can ride the bicycle. Keep telling myself that. I get on the bicycle. I ride it 3 feet, fall over. I rode the bicycle for 3 feet. Belief accomplished.
Yeah.
And wow. So you're going to find that in your characters as well when they're, when they're discovering things, and they go through a certain motion, and that certain motion results in success.
Yeah.
That's going to become their belief.
Definitely. Mark, absolutely fantastic conversation. I've learned so much. It's been so interesting just hearing your insights and your wisdom. So thank you very much for giving up your time to chat with me.
I love it. I appreciate you and your listeners, you know, passing on the word that no one's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's really what we need to get out of the general psyche, which has been unfortunately pounded into our brain for 2 millennia now.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen with your heart. It'll tell you what you need to know.
Excellent bit of advice. If we want to find out a bit more about you, where's the best place to look?
The best place to start is our webpage, which is AK Ulf Hefnar. And I'll spell it because if you hear me say it and then you go read it, it doesn't look the same. AK is Alaska, is AK. And then Ulf is ULF, as in Frank, HEDNAR.com.
Nice.
And from there, you can get to all of our social media sites. You can get to pretty much anywhere we are. You can also get a whole lot of, I wrote some of the studies are on there, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. In addition, there's newsletters where you can actually be reminded of our podcast and kind of get a summary periodically, kind of talk about what's going on. And so hopefully they can get some insight and be able to pick up some at least Norse and Celtic beliefs and how that works.
Yeah, sounds amazing. So everyone go and check it out. You're not going to be sorry.
Well, and definitely take a look at the book, Amazon.com, and/or BarnesandNoble.com. Either of those sites, both of them hosted. There's a couple of pals all have it. It's called The Turn to Final. And The Turn to Final is a compressed Reader's Digest version understanding of spirituality at a quantum mechanics level.
Oh, nice. There you go.
So and it also has all my story in it. So my not as excited about that as I am about helping people understand how spirituality affects their psychology every day of their lives, whether they choose to believe it or not.
Definitely. I'll put links for everything in the description as well, so you'll be able to find them. But Mark, thank you very much again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, sir. And you all have a blessed day. And all your listeners, may your dreams come true.
Mark, thank you so much again for giving up your time to chat with me all about spirituality, faith, religion, and belief systems. I hope if you're listening at home that you've learned something new there. I've learned, as always, a ton of insights, particularly when it comes to creating characters and getting into that mindset of someone who's devout and gives up their life in pursuit of their faith and beliefs. So, yeah. Very interesting indeed. And do go off and check out Mark's stuff. The link to do so is in the description. And that is about all for today. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you don't want to miss any future episodes, give us a subscribe or a follow and click the notifications button so you get a little push notification whenever a new episode goes live. Don't forget, you can also join our Discord community, which is buzzing at the minute. We've got over 400 writers. You can join weekly critique groups, you can just connect with fellow writers or get feedback on stories and ideas and get help with beta readers and things like that. It's a great space. So do click on the link in the description and come and join us. If you like today's episode, you can show your support by giving it a quick share on social media or telling anyone who you think may be interested about us. A quick rating on Spotify or a review on iTunes goes a long way as well. So if you are inclined that way, that would be very much appreciated. And lastly, don't forget to check out our Patreon page. There you can find lots of fantasy writing related goodies, and there are lots of tiers to suit everyone's needs. So just click the link in the description there to find out more. And that is about all for today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on the 14th of August with a brand new episode. And until then, keep on scribbling.